Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello, and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
This is Devin Leary.
You guys, we are here.
Listen, don't try to skim past the intro because you don't want me to talk about what just happened.
Oh, wait, what just happened?
Oh, first of all, she doesn't even say welcome to True Romance because she knows I'm going to bring up the fact that I was like, oh, maybe we could videotape our podcast recording and that would be fun, like other podcasts do that. And then we post it on our Instagram. And I just fucking knew it, that I was going to hop on the Zoom and I was going to be put in the uncomfortable position of understanding based on appearances alone that Carolina did not prepare to film the Zoom today.
I thought we were talking about it conversationally.
Okay, so when I said starting tomorrow.
Got it. We need to talk about something that's actually serious, which is hometowns and The Bachelorette Part 1.
It's a big deal. Let me open up by interrupting Carolina, first of all. Second of all, saying my number one thought when I started watching this episode was whenever it's the bachelor and it's the male bachelor meeting all the female contestants' families, the families are always like, okay, we don't trust you. Why are you dating like a million women at once? That's weird. And like, you probably don't deserve our daughter. This hypothesis will be challenged shortly. For the most part, the men's families on The Bachelorette are like, oh my God, like somebody wants to date my son. Oh my God, you must be amazing. Like, please pick him. And the sons are like, you know what? The sons who are in a competition about getting engaged, where the prize mm-hmm. is literally getting engaged, are being like, you know what? The thing is that like, I don't really know if I'm ready for that kind of commitment. And the moms
that's
are like,
a lot.
But why? Why are you not ready? Like, what's going on?
Well, let's go through one by one. We start with Jason and Gabby. Jason is much like the host of The Bachelorette, Bachelor Chris Harrison. We do not know the current host's name. We've watched 7 episodes. It's just not sticking with us. And Jason, Gabby's date in New Orleans, is much like them. I could see him every single day for the rest of my life and forget he ever existed. He takes Gabby to New Orleans. Devin wrote in our doc, Jason is the most boring person to be from New Orleans ever. And it's so funny because as soon as she said, I'm in New Orleans, I was like, oh my gosh, I love New Orleans. I want to be there right now. And then I saw Jason and I thought, I'm not excited anymore. He also does something, which I'm a very outgoing person, but he dances on the street with her. That's not okay with me. If a guy asked me to do that, I would say no.
I really don't like that type of joke dancing too, where it's like an awkward waltz. Like, I'm like, either like jokingly grind on me or do nothing. Like, I don't want to jokingly do like a 2-bit fucking salsa number. Like, that's not my vibe. Also, she like just starts laughing like almost like hysterically when he's doing it, which I feel like was a nervous thing to be like, ha, 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 okay, I guess we're dancing.
I know she looked like she was in hell too, which she's really outgoing. They throw beads off a balcony, which I thought was a really weird, like, these producers need to pull it together. We can do better.
We can do better, but I did love when Gabby said that she wanted to get an old man to show him her penis. Yeah, that. Her him penis. When she wanted an old man to show her him penis, that was actually really good.
That was really good, but I was like, these men just don't appreciate her.
I know. I mean, it's like, this is the thing. We're adults, okay? Some of us have been shy before also. I've been shy and a lot of times in my life. First of all, you're on a TV show. Second of all,
you have a job.
You have a job to do. And you're with one of the most beautiful, interesting, funny women of all time who saves lives, who won a prize for how many lives she saves. And you can't utter a sentence. Like, you can't tell a story about growing up in New Orleans. Nothing comes to mind. I could tell 17 stories off the top of my head about growing up in Northwestern Connecticut. And you can't tell a story about growing up in the fucking big ass easy.
He reminds me of a guy that I would just like keep putting myself around in high school to be like, I think we're probably going to hook up. But I would just keep putting myself in his proximity and he just wouldn't talk. And then we'd finally hook up. Do you know what I mean? But Jason, they meet his dad in his park. He's really sweet. They meet his parents. Jason's parents are very nice.
Okay. Jason's dad. Are you single? That's what I want to know. Jason's dad is one of the most soulful men that we've seen on this show. I will say that.
The funny thing is that I don't understand why all of the parents cry when they see their kids. I think it's just the intensity of like the cameras, the pressure, like the moment they all burst. Like Jason's mom cried when she saw him. It was crazy.
I'm like, how long have you been away? Like, I am away from my parents for like he's like, we haven't seen each other in 6 to 7 weeks. I'm like, I'm not away from my parents that long pretty consistently. And often they like forget that I even exist. And I call them. I'm like, hey guys. And they're like, oh, major news happened in the family. We forgot to tell you. And I'm like, okay, what?
There's also something which I realized in Hometowns after finally watching like a few seasons of The Bachelor and Bachelorette, that the formula for Hometowns is that one of the parents goes, hey, Rachel, can we talk for a second?
And it's so insane. Imagine
if a father of a boyfriend, while we were all sitting down, said in front of everyone, Carolina, can I talk to you for a second? I would say no. I would say I'm going home. I would say I don't know what's happening. I would look at my boyfriend. It's like the beginning of a horror movie. It's like Midsommar.
It is truly Midsommar. It's actually less scary than Midsommar. No, I mean, it's actually more scary than Midsommar. It's actually not as scary as a horror movie. I don't know if you knew that. I want true romance.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything. A moment that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these very moments.
The last couple of years has been the hardest season of our marriage for sure. I'm surprised our marriage survived it. I think we both are. I think we both were barely holding on. Nothing compares to how hard this is.
Their stories are full of candor, awe, and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change.
True behavior change is really identity change. Every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become.
Listen to A Slight Change of Plans on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gabby's insecurities multiple times in this episode. She asks the men she's with's parents, like, and do you think he would fall in love with a girl like me? Like, are you sure? Basically being like, do you think I'm good enough for him?
Do you think that he would marry trash off the street?
And Jason's sister, she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, of course. And I just relate. And I just have to say, the damage that men do to society to make it such that a woman like this, because I'm literally looking at her, I'm like, I just wish I was that effortless and beautiful and thin. Not that thin matters, okay? Pretty hurts, as Beyonce said.
I literally was watching Gabby thinking, like, please don't put me in an eating disorder brain again. Like, I've been really good for a long time.
Things have been going really good. No, I do have to say, though, like, the producers are not doing her any favors. I think she has too many lip fillers. I mean, she's gotten a little overboard, or maybe they're her natural lips, but it's like whenever she kisses someone even once, like, all of her makeup falls off. The producers need to, like, just mention something and be like, hey, you have, like, a huge red spot on your whole face.
You have, like, a rash around your mouth from kissing someone.
Like, is everything okay? But the producers don't look out for our girls like that.
So Jason tells his mom that it's moving a little fast. Why do you think that is, Jason? Do you think that it's because it's a television show that's seasonal? I just fully do not understand. As you said, you've watched this show. You know what you're applying to. His mom looks confused because he's like, yeah, I don't see an engagement happening. She starts to cry. And I'm like, is it out of embarrassment? I also think, like you said, it's kind of like, okay, well, girls like this don't come around.
If I know.
I'm a doctor, I wouldn't really know what to do because, like, I would need him to think I'm really funny and he would need to be funny. But if he was really funny and smart, I'm smart enough and have enough life experience under my belt. I mean, maybe that's the thing. They're all like 25. But I would just be like, yeah, I'm not letting go of this. This is it.
No, I know. And we all know that we would do that. I mean, to think back, like, I don't know if you do this, but I think of myself as, like, the main character in the movie of my life. And if you guys can even believe this, before I even had a podcast, sometimes I would imagine myself being interviewed in a podcast. Is that so embarrassing?
No, because I imagine myself being interviewed in magazine articles.
Okay, so I, like, was dating this guy in my early 20s, and I was, like, imagining myself talking about our undeniable love on the podcast interview and being like, yeah, like, it's just, like, when you know, you know. And then to think back on who that person was,
So what I do, my fantasy is being interviewed in a magazine that my exes read.
Okay. Yeah.
It happens to when the exes read. And I talk about my current husband, faceless, nameless, professionless.
It happens to be Thrasher, the skateboard magazine that Carolina's exes read.
And I'm in, like, you know, kind of like gorgeous poses, but also sophisticated. Like,
you're casually biting the tip of a pen, just thinking.
Topless with a blazer on.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. So you get the vibe, my hair back. And the article quote would be something like, I've just never had someone who's, like, had my back like this before. And my exes would be like, wow, man, that's me. I didn't do it.
Your exes would be like, stupid.
Like, man, I know. I messed that up. I mean, I feel like some of these guys, Johnny, who Gabby goes to Florida for. I was like, yeah, he must be a really special guy. If the producers showed me that itinerary, I would say, Yeah, we're going to have to say that Johnny died in a helicopter crash.
I know.
Not quite a Florida.
Tragic accident occurred.
Talk about someone who imagines himself getting interviewed. He keeps on saying this thing that I unfortunately think is hot, even though it's so cheesy. But he's like, I'm really falling for this girl, man. Like, I'm really thinking about this girl. I don't think a lot of men take funny girls seriously as romantic partners.
Yes. And I think also, like, Rachel is beautiful. I think she has a perfect appearance. I don't think there's anything that I would, no notes appearance-wise. She's not necessarily sexual, at least not overtly. Gabby is much more comfortable in her sexuality. And she's funny and she's just, like, more in her body and flirty. I think that it's easier for some men that are intimidated by a girl like Gabby. So they're just kind of like, wait, so I just kind of wanted to like get to the fantasy suites. And now I'm like looking for my forever person who's going to be much less complex.
Right, right. Well, less complex and like, I'm going to be with her forever. Like the jokey girl.
The girl when it's who like, laughs.
Yeah, you should be so fucking lucky.
The girl who laughs and the girl who fucks.
The girl who said she wanted to see an old man's penis so she could throw him Mardi Gras beads. That's my wife.
That's really, yes. That's going to be my wife.
Okay. That's your wife. She also saves lives.
Meanwhile, if a man is funny, they can look like fucking Pope Francis. And you're like, oh, okay, you're basically Brad Pitt.
So moving on, we should talk about how Rachel goes to Jersey, immediately gets to the Jersey boardwalk, sees Tyler, who is one of my front runners. He's so sweet. He's so genuine. I've never seen a breakup like this on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. It was so painful. She's basically like, oh my gosh, I need to break up with him, and has like sudden repulsion syndrome. You can see it all over her face. Every single thing he's saying while she's trying to break up with him is like, you know, when I said that I was more depressed than I'd ever have been, but something changed. That thing was you. You are truly one of the most amazing people I've ever seen in my life. And she's just like, right. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, meeting family is a big deal. And he's like, yeah, and they are going to love you. And I can't wait for them to meet you. And I just want you to say, I'm in love with you. Like, I think he almost knew that she was going to break up with him and was just trying to say all the right things to change her mind. But the most painful part that I literally was like, ABC, did we really have to air this? Is they filmed his family waiting for him, being like, I can't wait to see Tyler's girl, Rachel. They're probably so in love right now. They're probably holding hands. I can just picture him smiling from ear to ear. And then we see Tyler walk up alone, him open the door, and everyone going, yay! When he opens the door, like, utterly heartbroken, trying not to sob. I was like, this is cruel. This is cruel.
It was also like, I was like, you know what? She would have been better off just fucking going and then breaking up with him after at that point.
Totally.
Like, if they're really just waiting with, like, the welcome home signs, like...
Yeah.
Maybe she should have just gone.
I know. I know.
Also, who knows what fucking Seinfeld character would have been at his house. At that point, you're like, maybe I should just go to see if there's like a famous person there. It's like...
Right. Zach, who I think that Rachel should just get married because I actually think they're the same person.
Yes. Neither is sexual, but both...
Neither is sexual.
But both are conventionally attractive.
Type A, and they all watched airplanes go off as kids, which is weird.
Wait, really?
I think it's cute. I think it's weird.
It reminds me of like this girl I was friends with in middle school. And she was like, oh, every year my mom and I go into this like hayfield and look at the stars. And I was like, oh, my mom and I watch The Swan together, which is a reality show where women get their entire face transplanted with plastic surgery. So
I remember that show. No, but Zach is super awkward, but he's saying all the right things. He's doing all the right things. And his uncle happens to be a side character on Seinfeld.
So I saw this in the previews for next week. And I actually didn't trust my own mind because of the way that women are treated by society. So I was like, was that putty? And then I was like, no, it wasn't, Devin. Are you fucking stupid, crazy bitch like society says you are? And so I was like, that can't be real. And I was like, maybe he just looks exactly like Putty from Seinfeld. And then I see as soon as Zach walks in, he's like, oh, this is my mom, my dad, whatever, and Uncle Pat. And I was like, wait, so he is famous? Because that's literally how you would introduce your famous relative. It's like, oh, okay, and Uncle Pat. By the way, I'm sad that he had to do this show. Like, I don't know.
We can't save everyone.
He had to watch a slideshow of their love.
We can't even save ourselves.
He had to sit there, like, fucking enjoying or pretending to enjoy a slideshow of them going on
from,
one-on-one
like, a week
dates.
Ago. Like, oh my God, this is our first kiss. It was 24 hours ago. It was so crazy.
Oh my God. And he pulled Rachel for a chat, didn't he? Like, he's like, can I talk to you for a second? She's like, sure. And she's like kind of smiling at everything he says. Like, yeah. I'm like, okay, guys, you know what? At the end of the day, what, you think you're Brad Pitt? No, it's Putty. That don't impress me much.
You
it's
think
Putty.
You're Putty?
So moving on. Zach is in love with her. Now it
he
has...
He would marry her. He would walk down the aisle with her, I think.
It's been solidified that he is who she should choose. Is he who she's going to choose? Oh, yeah. I fucking wish the universe worked like that. Okay?
We have someone really sad, which is Eric, whose dad is dying of cancer. He brings... This is another...
We have someone really sad. So next, guys, we have someone really sad. And it's Eric, whose dad is dying.
Oh my God, this is the second time someone mentioned someone dying today and I laughed out loud.
No.
Someone was like, yeah, I
what?
Know.
Was it Osama bin Laden dying? Otherwise, there's no excuse. You know what's funny? Osama bin Laden dying in a cave. Okay.
Oh my gosh. I have something to say though.
What?
First of all,
you don't
I love
believe
my
he's really dead. Okay, we can cut that.
I'm a truther. No, I think it's a red flag that someone
that's
is not.
That someone has cancer. That is a red flag. To weaponize, Eric, to not only weaponize your mullet, but also to weaponize the fact that your dad has terminal cancer. He's like, oh, I'm sure you went on a lot of nice little hometowns this week. Well, did any of those hometowns have a dad who's dying of cancer?
I feel so bad because. Why wasn't Eric just with his family? Why did he have to do The Bachelorette?
It's giving me, you know what it's giving is Rambo.
It's freaking me out.
It's giving Rambo when that guy was like, my dog Rambo is a skull. Guys, this is something that actually it happened is that a guy on the show said that his dog's skull was caved in from terminal brain cancer and the dog had 1 month to live. But
and
the
he
guy,
was like, so yeah, I think I want to be here.
The guy decided to come and be on The Bachelorette on a cruise ship. With a fucking malaria outbreak. And that is something that happened on the show. So this is kind of giving Rambo where it's like, oh, my dad doesn't have much time left, but I chose to spend it with you. And it's like, okay, but you didn't, again, you didn't have to make that choice. I didn't make you make that choice. And he even said when he was talking to his mom, he was like, I wouldn't have put you guys through this if I wasn't like serious. And it's like, so you admit that it's like kind of putting them through a lot to make them go on national television.
It's a lot. It's a lot. She could not seem less interested. Like, I thought Gabby was so sweet with her, and Gabby's obviously just being an ICU nurse in general. I was just like,
I did tear
okay.
up during that conversation when the dad
yeah,
was
I
talking
teared
about
up.
The ICU nurse.
I teared up when, you know, what's his name? I didn't remember his name, but I teared up when Rachel dumped him on the boardwalk.
Tyler. I think Tyler's sweet. I'm really rooting for Tyler.
I like Tyler.
Yeah. And
I think it's over though, right?
Listen, it is over, but I love a South Jersey vibe. It's a real salt of the earth thing.
He's a sweet smile. I think he was genuine too. But Eric, I think is the one that Gabby is leaning towards the most right now.
Sadly, but also, and like, who better does she have at this moment?
That's a good point. She's so in love with him. And speaking of the person you choose, we should end our night just like Rachel did with Tino and his family.
Okay, this Tino's- is really interesting.
I want you.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything. A moment that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these very moments.
The last couple of years has been the hardest season of our marriage for sure. I'm surprised our marriage survived it. I think we both are. I think we both were barely holding on. Mm. Nothing compares to how hard this is.
Their stories are full of candor, awe, and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change.
True behavior change is really identity change. Every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become.
Listen to A Slight Change of Plans on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So every family, they preludes the family being like, we're excited to meet her. And if she's, you know, sensible, she's going to choose our boy. Like, they're all these kind of like cheery families, except for Eric and his parents. I need help. I need help.
Why can't these families just put a fucking smile on? What could possibly be going on in their lives that they can't slap a smile on their face?
Is this episode publishable? Question mark. Send.
Listen, if you want to love us at our best, then you need to accept us at our making fun of people dying of cancer. Okay?
I think it was Marilyn Monroe who said that.
Marilyn Monroe said that. And then she said, if anyone is ever going to play me in a movie, you better make it Ana de Armas.
Armas.
Okay? That's what she said. And it's fucking crazy. Wait, by the way, remember in high school when girls would be like, yeah, you know Marilyn Monroe? She was a size 12. And you're like,
I don't think she was.
Okay. And also, you have an eating disorder, but thanks for sharing. Like, is everything okay? Yeah, it's tough.
So Tino, he is super hot.
I don't find him attractive whatsoever.
So hot to me. I'm like,
not a single urge is kicked up inside me.
I don't think he's not my type. It's so funny. We were having this conversation in our office today where everyone was showing who their quote unquote hot boyfriend was.
Oh.
And to everyone's hot boyfriend, everyone was like, not my type. Like, they were all conventionally hot guys.
Wait, like, yours was Yoni, I'm assuming, right?
My perfect.
So whose type is not Yoni?
Well, exactly. Yoni, if you're listening, everyone thought you were so cute. But I described Yoni as hotter than me, which I do think he is.
No. Listen, I don't want to hear my friend talk about herself like that. I was dying laughing. Beth Jacobs, friend of the pod, Beth Jacobs Cohen, sorry. She's married, boys. I texted her and she like made a joke about me being famous from the podcast or something. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm not famous. And she goes, hey, don't talk about my friend like that, sad face.
I paid my plumber on Venmo the other day. And they were fixing my shower head. So it was a few hundred dollars. So it was pretty expensive. I forgot to put it on private.
Okay.
So Beth Jacobs Cohen, friend of the pod, screenshots it, sends it to our group chat, being like, everything okay there, Carolina? Sounds like a big job.
Because it said invoice number 14,212. It's like, wow, they've been trying at that for a long time.
It was the number invoice from my email address I received. They have not been to my house 4,000 times.
Okay, 14,000. Okay. But listen, some people have digestive issues and that's human. At least you don't have terminal cancer. Anyway, at least your skull isn't caved in like Rambo. I'm sure he would love to have some digestive problems, but he doesn't even have most of his skull. So moving on.
So Tino's family is immediately like getting ready to be like Jerry Springer. Like, they're literally like getting each other worked up. Like, his mom is like, so this girl is dating four other guys, but she's going to come to our house and talk to my Tino. They're just really getting amped up. They obviously, listen, this whole thing is bullshit, but they are trying to call it out on air, which is actually illegal. You actually can't do that. So sweet little Rachel never did anything wrong in her whole goddamn life. Comes in there and is like, hi, it's so nice to meet you. I'm Rachel. Tino comes in as dumb as the broom in my corner. And he's like, yeah, I like knocked it out of the park. When I first got there, she actually gave me my first rose. So, like, yeah. And they were like, so what's next? And he was like, oh, she's going to send all the other guys home and I'm going to propose. And his parents laughed like, what? You're going to propose in 2 weeks? That's kind of the tone for the rest of the evening.
Also, Tino had previously, she like asked him multiple times, like, are you sure they're going to like me? Because I think I'm not positive, but I think he's like the one who told the story where like his dad hated one of his girlfriends or something.
He did.
So she's like, are you sure they're going to like me? Like, I'm really nervous. He's like, I'm actually positive. Like, they are going to love you. Like, do not even worry about it. Like, I'm telling you.
His dad couldn't have roasted her more. He literally is like, tell me something about my son that proves to me you know him. And she's so nervous. And she's like, he's just a very positive. I think she actually gave good examples. Like, he's a very positive person. Listen, she doesn't know him from Adam, but that's not the problem. And he's just like, yeah, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not getting this thing. And then afterwards, after this hell where I felt uncomfortable watching it, I truly felt so much secondhand embarrassment for her. Tino takes her outside again, as dumb as the rug my feet are on. He was like, they adored you.
Yeah.
And she goes, I do not think they liked me. And he's like, no, seriously, they like adored you.
She's like, just be fucking genuine for 1 second of your life. Even your name is fake, Tino. Is that your real name? I'm sure it's fucking Anthony something.
I think it is, because his brother's name is Mateo, and I was like, Tino is such a hot name.
Okay, he's not hot. None of this is hot. But Tino's father, who looks like Pee Wee Herman on meth, hates women. So he hates all of his son's girlfriends because he couldn't get any girl besides, no offense, his wife, who's also
tweaker vibes,
visibly on meth. So he just hates women and wears a toupee. And so he wanted to...
Oh, yeah. He does wear a toupee, huh?
He does, huh? Yeah. He's got that glued-on look. So listen, that's what was really going on. And I'm sure he hates Tino for being, I guess, what some deranged women like Carolina think is attractive.
Spicy. I am so terrified for the upcoming episodes. Terrified, and I can't wait. I think we all know that, as you wrote here, Devin, Rachel is probably going to choose Tino, even though she should choose Avon. That's his name, right?
Yeah, I actually forgot about Avon. So I wrote into the doc, as you'll see, not because I'm racist, but because ABC is racist and they forgot to put Avon in this episode. But I forgot about Avon. And so I said, oh, she should choose Zach. But really, in reality, she should choose Avon. And we'll see what happens next week. The preview is like that they like get a hex put on them and like almost set a building on fire.
Avon is actually too a hot for this cast.
I agree.
In truth, he is a model. And Zach and her would leave a perfectly happy life together.
They would satisfy each other's needs.
Non-sexually,
and they would have Uncle Putty there to play Santa at their family Christmases. So
exactly. And I'm already annoyed that, speaking of not watching the show, two of these guys are gonna fucking tell Gabby that they're not gonna get married to her, and they forgot that that was the concept of the show. And then we have a shot of Mullet Boy, I'm forgetting his name, Eric, telling her, like, I'm just like freaking out about like someone I love doing something like that with someone else, meaning like, please don't hook up with anyone in the fantasy suites. And it's like, listen, the show's called Bachelorette because this is my last time being Bachelorette.
Yeah.
I am going to clean up. I'm going to get dicked.
It's also like, you have to imagine this was filmed before monkeypox. And even if it wasn't, they've all been in there so long that even if they had monkeypox when they first got there, it's run its course. Even if Logan had monkeypox and he's stuck in like a tiny room, he's stuck in the like zoological undercarriage of the cruise ship. That's actually its own movie, is Logan with all the animals in the undercarriage of the cruise ship. The Noah's Ark rejects, if you will. Even if he did have monkeypox, it's already probably cleared itself by now. So yeah, I would be fucking if that was me.
And in that spirit, I want to say I can't wait to finish out what has been an exciting season. And I can't wait for a mental all. I love a mental all. Literally, nameless host looks at the camera and says, this next news will
change all of your lives.
The rest of your lives. And I think it can't possibly be true unless you're telling everyone in this studio that you're giving them monkeypox as a social experiment to spread it to 10 people they know.
No, unless it's like, possibly true. They actually just discovered a way to reverse climate change and everyone's like,
that would be so cool. That would be so cool if they announced it on The Bachelor.
Do you think there is a way?
I do. I think that there's technology that's exciting to me. Mariam Kaba, an abolitionist that I really love, said this, which I really liked. She said, hope is a discipline. And she said she doesn't trust people who are too optimistic, and she doesn't trust people who are too cynical.
I really agree with that.
Life finds a way, and we have to do our part. And I will say that something that I try to do to save water is to not eat red meat. And if you eat red meat, that's absolutely fine. It's not your fault. Fossil fuels are the real problem, and it's oil execs who should be literally on trial for murder, even though abolitionists, like I said. I do think, though, that we can all think more consciously about red meat. And I know that, like, I've had to eat red meat at times because my diet when I was healing from something needed a lot of protein. I love meat. I love hot dogs. I don't eat them anymore. It's true. I love hot dogs.
So something that's been really hard for me is that I was recovering from something and I needed to eat protein, and I love hot dogs.
Hot dogs. Okay. It's true. It's all true. So if we're going to talk about climate change, we can just talk about that.
And here's what I'll say. Save water. Ride a cowboy.
Yes. That's it. That's the message.
That's the message.
That's the technology. Stay hopeful and stay helpful.
Okay.
Logging off.
Oh, God. All right. Listen, I didn't want to end on that note, but here we are. God bless. See you guys next week.
Love you, Devin.
Love you, too. Bye.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance. It's true. True romance. It's so romantic. Love me, baby. Don't.
Are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.